disciples, Christ kept giving them sometimes little hints and sometimes not just hints, but laying it all out for them as to what was going to happen to him. And we also find out in the scriptures that though he explained it to them numerous times in different ways, they all still didn't quite get it. And they wouldn't quite get it until after the fact. And then they would start putting those pieces of the puzzle together, connecting the dots, if you will. But could you imagine? Could you imagine? Because us, with our Bibles and the scriptures and what we know now, we get to this point in the story, but we just get to barrel right on through to Sunday and the resurrection. And he doesn't stay dead, but he's alive. But I was just struck with sitting here just thinking what they would have been going through at about that time when Jesus yielded up his spirit, when he said it is finished, and when he physically died. I mean, you know, they in some ways, I'm sure, were beside themselves, grief-stricken, of course, maybe trying to hold on to some scraps, some pieces of hope, maybe some of those things they were starting to kind of think about, but not really sure quite, you know, what it all meant yet. And then what they went through over the next even couple of days, not really knowing again if something is really going to happen this third day, 3 days after this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. So for tonight, we're going to keep our minds just kind of rested there with that part of the story, but we also want to recognize just some of those aspects of that and what it all meant. We read the story, but what does it mean for us? And I just have a few points that I just kind of broke down the gospel message into. And one, just to remind ourselves and remember that in going to the cross, the Bible says that Jesus became sin. He became sin for us. That's heavy. That is what we might say, heavy duty. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul writes, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." That we actually would become righteous, justified, completely forgiven, just like we sang, "I'm forgiven." That not just that, you know, He would say, "Okay, I've forgiven you," and then maybe come back later on in our life and go, yeah, but do you remember that time back then and you did such and such? It's a clean slate. When we look at justification in the scriptures, it's a legal term that means you're considered not guilty, free. And that is Him on that cross becoming sin for us on our behalf. And secondly, we recognize that He redeemed us in what He did on the cross. That is, He bought us back. He ransomed us. Just like we think of a ransom, you know, or a ransom note. You pay this money and you'll get such and such or whatever. Well, in this case, He ransomed us from the bondage of sin. Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave Himself for us to redeem us, to buy us back from every lawless deed, and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession," that we would actually be Christ's possession. "Zealous for good deeds." Oh, why shouldn't we want to do good deeds for the Lord when we find out this miracle that He would buy us back from the bondage of sin? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold," He didn't buy us with silver or gold, "from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Thirdly, this took place, that He would become sin, that He would buy us back, redeem us from the bondage of sin, so that we could be forgiven. Forgiven of our sins. As Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says, "In Him, in Christ, we have redemption. We have been bought back through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace." There's that grace word we're reminded, not of anything we could ever do on our own, but solely by the riches of His grace, that His grace is rich for us. It is bountiful. It is grace upon grace, more than we could fathom. And Colossians 2, verses 13 to 14, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That's a good reminder, right? Again, that we could not do anything of ourselves. We couldn't, say, hey, I'm going to save myself, because we were dead. He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. Well, that's one certificate we wouldn't really enjoy to see, would we? All of our decrees against God. And He cancels it out. This certificate of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. All of this so that we could be free from the consequences of our sin. We can't even begin to fathom, really, what this means for us until, first and foremost, we understand our sin. Romans 6, 21 to 23. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? What were those things good for us? I mean, the implied answer, they weren't. For the outcome of those things is death. We find out elsewhere in Romans, it's not just that physical death, although that is true, but it is spiritual death as well. Separation from God, and eternal life, yes, but in the pit of hell. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so tonight, won't we all contemplate the price that was paid for our sin? Won't we even ask God to reveal any sin to us? We know we've been forgiven of all our sins, past, present, future. There's still that aspect of coming before the Lord, even on a daily basis. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to Him on a, minute-by-minute basis to confess my sin. But maybe ask Him to reveal any sin in our lives. And if we have any undealt sin, wouldn't we want to do something about it? Wouldn't we want to confess that to the Lord and tell Him, thank You for Your mercy, thank You for Your grace, and thank You for Your forgiveness. Forgiveness that only comes from the death of Christ on the cross.